Welcome. It's time for Catalog and Cocktails, your honest, no BS, non-salesy conversation about enterprise data management. I'm Tim Gasper, joined by Juan Cicada. Hey, Juan.
Hey, Tim. It is awesome to be here live. It's not Wednesday. It's Thursday. It's not our usual time. It is actually cocktail time. We're in the UK. But I am super, super, super excited to have Kyle Winterbottom, who's the CEO and the founder of Orbition Group. If you're in the data space and you are a data leaders and you don't know Kyle, like I'm like, what the heck? Where do you live, right? I think Kyle's posts show up on my LinkedIn feed every day, and I'm always thinking. And he always, I think you live this whole honest no BS yourself all the time. And I love when I look at your posts, I look at the comments, and sometimes like, oh, I got to get some popcorn because this is getting interesting. Anyways, Kyle, it is super freaking awesome to have you here on the podcast finally. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Pleasure to be here. Yeah, when you asked me to come on one, I was like, well, if there's a podcast or the name of a podcast that I guess summarizes my approach to things, it's an honest no BS podcast. So yeah, there you go. I'm delighted to be here.
All right, we'll do it. But before we jump in, it is early in the morning live here, but I'm curious, what are you drinking? I don't know. It's 4 p.m. your time, but what is your cocktail beverage of choice nowadays?
Cocktail beverage of choice. I'm a whiskey drinker, so if I have to go for a cocktail, it'll be an old fashioned. But I'm a big Belgian beer drinker, if that permits. Not 4 p.m. on a Thursday, unfortunately. Although it's right before the Easter weekend, so we're probably not too far away from that point in time.
Eddie, what's your favorite Belgium beers?
Oh, there's a beer called Triple Carmelite, which I run into when I was out in Brussels, and had far too many of those considering they're 8.8% proof. But yeah, that's another story for another day.
I've actually tried that beer before. That's a really good one. Yeah,
it is. Yeah,
for me, I think Delirium Tremens. It is probably one of the best beers in the world for me, but I think also one that really hit home. It was, I think, one of the first Belgian beers I've ever had that have interesting memories, given what I drank many of those. So it's the Golden Drak, that one. So,
yeah.
Anyways, we got a lot to chat about here because when we posted about this, people are already starting to go chat. Honest, no BS. What do you mean that the people in the boardroom continue to design the wrong CDO mandate?
Yeah, well, let's start as we mean to go on, shall we? So I think it's pretty obvious right now, and I know there's a lot of talk about this topic, but fundamentally, we are still, however long organizations have been doing data management, analytics, you know, now AI and all that kind of good stuff, this talk is still, we're not getting value from it. There seems to be a very small, finite number of businesses that can point to demonstrable, tangible commercial value that they're getting from a lot of these initiatives. And when you trace it all back, in my opinion, most things are downstream. Most of the issues in our industry are downstream from the fact that the people in the boardroom build the mandate of the CDO role or the de facto CDO role, whoever is the most senior data person, whoever is accountable, responsible for the data capability and function inside a business. 9 times out of 10, it is not aligned to delivering value and outcomes. It's aligned to delivering frameworks and models and dashboards and reports and platforms and lakes and lake houses and swamps and blah, 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 blah. And then they get really annoyed when that's what they get. So we're in this space where the mandate is, you know, it's never aligned to delivering the thing that they fundamentally want, even though they don't ask for it. And they end up firing people 12, 18, 24, 36 months down the line for not delivering a commercial ROI. Now, I think that the point to note is that the mandate itself is normally the symptom of a bigger problem. And I think my opinion is that the root cause is the perception of what data is or exists to do for an organization in the boardroom. And 9 times out of 10, you know, I'm fortunate I speak with people, you know, board members every single week because of obviously what we do as a business. And fundamentally, they see it usually as a technical problem or challenge that needs fixing, addressing, you know, as you'd expect. Data needs to be moved. It needs engineering. We need to visualize it. It needs dashboards, you know, blah, 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 blah. Tools, technology, infrastructure. And that perception leads them to create the mandate, which they create, which leads them to not get any value out of the other side of it. Now, that's not to say that all of that stuff isn't important. It absolutely is. But that's kind of table stakes, in my opinion.
This is a very direct and honest statement, I think, about the state of affairs right now around the role of the CDO and why a lot of them fail, right? It's not a high success role, and it's a very high turnover role, right? Is this categorically a problem with like the fact that this even, this is perhaps a very edgy question here, the fact that this role even exists? Like, you know, because I think there's a lot of a feeling, right or wrong, that like, well, you know, the CRO is in charge of sales and the chief customer officer is in charge of the customer experience. And so the chief data officer, well, they're in charge of the data, right? And so there's like kind of a boxing in that happens. Is this like a categorical issue, or do you think we can actually change the mandate and find a better way to direct CDOs?
I mean, you can definitely change the mandate, right? Because a big part of what we do as a business is try to start at that point. You know, often businesses will come to us, we're looking for a CDO, here's what we need. And there's a lot of unraveling on our side as to maybe you don't need that. Like, what are your goals and objectives? What are the KPIs that you will use to manage those goals and objectives? What are the decisions that you will make around those KPIs that dictate the goals and objectives and so on and so forth? So there's an unraveling of that. So the mandate can definitely 100% be changed, because we've done it with good success. And also there are businesses out there, and some that have been very successful, that are adding 8-9 figures annually to their top and bottom line through using data to drive better decisions. So not many of them, but there are some. So it proves that it can be done. But is it a all-encompassing problem in the for the majority of businesses? I think it is. You know, if you were to look at the amount of businesses doing something with data, there's not many businesses out there now that aren't, obviously at varieties of different sizes and scales and complexities, of course, but the number that are getting commercial value out of doing it is very slim in comparison to the number of businesses doing it. Tim, you mentioned something then that I think is really interesting and a good point to touch on. And I've been a big kind of believer in this for a long time. I think a lot of businesses went on this journey to being data driven, in quotation marks, because it was, you know, the right thing to do. I don't think that anyone doesn't believe in it. I think they believe that there is value there. And in all honesty, that's how most of the conversations I have start, right? Especially businesses that have never hired a CDO, it is usually, we've got all of this data, there must be some value in here somewhere. But that's the starting point. So they go and hire somebody to try and get them to figure out, well, where is the value? And part of that conversation comes, well, while we're trying to figure that out, we're going to need a platform, we're going to need this, so let's start building. I think a lot of the time, businesses get sucked into this, and we're seeing the same thing with AI now, right? Even though AI is not new, the whole Gen AI and LLM piece is relatively new, and it's become more, I guess, commercialized from that lens. I think businesses got sucked into this because there was pressure to be perceived, to be seen, to be doing something. You know, almost the cost of being seen not to be doing it was more detrimental to the brand and the perception in the external marketplace than it was wasting a load of money doing it wrongly.
Yeah, I think this, a little bit of my historical soapbox I get to is like, I honestly think that the Hadoop era, the big data, was kind of like a lost decade there, because hey, people didn't actually need to use Hadoop and all that stuff, but they did it because the CIO was in a meeting and a dinner, and they're like, oh, we got Hadoop and we're doing this stuff. I'm like, what the heck is that? And like, I'm having dinner again in a couple of weeks, I better say that we are doing that stuff. And then I think we've kind of gained that perception, but because we've been doing data before, like, I mean, there's data warehouses and you're doing analysis and all this stuff, and you are finding trends, and like, we've always been doing that type of work. But I feel that what has been, we have this focus on the technology, on data, and I actually, so I push this out, I'm curious what you think, is companies, they have a data problem, but they don't really have a data problem. Like, they have an AI problem, but they don't really have an AI. Like, that's not really a thing you have to go focus on as an organization, because those are means to an end. What you have is a work problem, Like, what you need to go do is figure out how to go do more of your work efficiently, do more with less, all that type of stuff. And obviously data is going to help me. AI is going to help me. My context is going to help that. The insights are like, so I think a lot of the framing I've been kind of talking to data leaders, and I'm having good positive perception. I'm curious, because you speak also to a lot of them, is, hey, look, you have a work problem, not a data problem, and you need to get out of your bubble. Because at the end, if you're going back to, like, if you're the CDO, you own data. It's like, yeah, you own data, but data by itself isn't the goal. You need to be able to take that and tie that back to your different business lines, so you are completely cross-functional, all these things. Now the issue is that being cross-functional, like, that means that you are stepping other people's toes and stuff, and that's, you need more business acumen and be great at politics and stuff, which a lot of the data leaders are more from the technical side. They don't do that.
Yep.
Anyways, I'm ranting here, but this, does this resonate with you? Does it resonate with the leaders that you're seeing and stuff? Curious.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a big portion of everything that you've just said there that is absolutely true, right? I think a big problem here is accountability, right? In terms of if there's a disconnect. So often what I see happen is people in the boardroom will appoint a CDO. They view that as an enabling or supporting function. This may not go down too well, but I think one of the worst things our industry ever did was kind of subside to the fact that we are an enabler. And there's a lot of CDOs that will turn around and say, actually, as soon as you're seen as an enabler or a support function, you're done, right? To your first point, like, a business doesn't exist to do finance, unless it's obviously a financial service institution. It doesn't exist to do HR. It doesn't exist to do data. It exists to do whatever that business does and do it better and do more of it and blah, blah, blah. So if you sell clothes, the way you improve your business is by probably selling more clothes, different products and blah, 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 right? So every function in a business should serve that purpose, right? Data is no different. The data function should be, how can this capability that we are building enable this business to sell more of what it sells, do more of what it does, and improve the performance of the overall business? But there is an accountability problem, in my opinion, in that boards hire a CDO to come in. They are hired to do data and all of the kind of technical technology infrastructure type things that support that to enable, right? And at that point, often boards think that just because they've done this stuff, that, you know, the value is just going to appear. Like, someone's going to go and turn on a light switch and, you know, dollar bills are going to start falling from the sky or something like that, right? And we all know that isn't the case, because something needs to happen. Just because you've got a warehouse or a lake house or a platform doesn't mean anything. That work is important and it's valuable, of course, but it doesn't drive value until something happens with it. And I think that's the big problem, because there's a disconnect then, because equally, your sales leaders or whoever, they're also not accountable for making better decisions with data. So if the data leader is not accountable for driving outcomes, and the business unit leaders aren't accountable for driving better outcomes by using data, then there's, like, somewhere in the middle, it's getting lost.
I think just to add to this a little bit, I think one thing that's challenging is, you know, what are those KPIs that a chief data officer should impact, right? Because I think, let's compare again to, like, a chief sales officer or chief revenue officer, right? Like, of course they would say, like, oh, of course, like, I'm not measured on my ability to implement a CRM, right? I am measured on my ability to drive sales, right? With a chief data officer, I think they would kind of agree that, like, well, yeah, of course my value is not to bring in a catalog or bring in Snowflake or Databricks or something like that, right? My value is to move the needle on dot, 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 right? And that's where I think, going back to what you said about data-driven culture, one thing that I think CDOs found a bit of an opportunity around, whether it's valuable or not, right, is, like, well, how many people took the data enablement course? And how many people are, you know, I'll even point at catalogs a little bit, how many people are logging into the catalog? And, like, they found these metrics that they thought maybe are kind of related to enablement or something like that. But are they really valuable versus, you know, what should the KPIs be?
I mean, look, that changes by context of business, mm-hmm. right? But those KPIs, in my opinion, should always be related back to what are the goals and objectives of the business. And fundamentally, that will come down to normally increasing revenue, profit, sales, reducing cost, improving operational efficiency, mitigating risk.
Yeah. Maybe going back to your clothes example, right? Like, there should be... just got an alert. It should, going back to that clothing example, it should go back to the accountability. They should actually be willing to sign up for what are the key metrics related to the efficiency of how you're producing clothing or the amount of sales around clothing, right?
The amount of inventory you have, you might want to reduce cost by, you know, better forecasting on inventory, so wastage and all that type of stuff. There will be headline goals and objectives of a business, and then the layer beneath that is the KPIs and metrics that they use to determine whether they are succeeding or failing against those goals and objectives. And it's those KPIs that CDOs need to get to. The problem often is they're too disconnected and too far removed from that, you know, because of the mandate, because the mandate has dictated to them that your job is to come and build a platform and a governance framework and, you know, devise a data strategy and an operating model. And they do that, and then they get fired because they've not, you know, they've not delivered any ROI. And it's like, well, no wonder they've not delivered any ROI, because you didn't hire them to deliver ROI. Right. And they, you know, businesses only get concerned about that after 2 or 3 years in role, and they've done, you know, several tens of millions of investment into people, tools, salaries, new technologies, new platforms, all of this stuff, and then look at it and go, well, what have we got out of this? And it's like, well, you were never going to get anything out of it, because there's a disconnect between what you're asking this person to do and the outcome that you want to drive fundamentally.
So this is, so your position here is that this should be then what the board should be mandating, right? The higher level ups should be saying, look, we're hiring you, we're hiring a CDO, not to go do all this technical stuff, because we need to increase customer satisfaction, because whatever is our top mandate of that. So how are you seeing this shift right now? Are you seeing boards actually thinking about this, or is this shift starting to happen, or are you still old man screaming to the cloud, like, come on, people? Because like I say this a lot, we're having this conversation, which sounds freaking obvious. And why do we have to state the obvious over and over again?
Mm, yeah. I think, in all honesty, I think that comes back to the accountability and the disconnection piece, right? And, the wrong mandate is merely a symptom. And the symptom is that the perception of what the role exists to do isn't aligned to outcomes. They don't think, you know, in most cases, in my opinion, most boards don't look at this. And I know there's a big argument that anyone in a boardroom will sit there and say, well, everything we do should align to an outcome. And that is, in theory, very correct. However, in the data little ecosystem bubble that we find ourselves in, that's often not the case, right? Because they perceive this role to be, it's a highly technical role. We need to fix our data quality. We need to find ways to move it around the business. We need a single source of truth. All of this stuff that is absolutely valuable, but on its own, it doesn't deliver value. And I think there are two different things, right? Work can be valuable, but it doesn't necessarily drive value until something else happens with it. So to answer your question, one, are we seeing this shift? We are, but it's slow. You know, it's turning slower than the Titanic would, is probably the right way to frame it. There are businesses now and organizations where we're getting into conversations with where the mandate is shifting, and you can see that. And I've put a couple of posts out on this recently where the way to spot this is when businesses start to look for very specific skill sets. So as an example, a business is looking for a CDO. Yes, they need the CDO to do all of the general end-to-end, you know, CDO stuff. They need them to build a team. They need them to devise a strategy. They need them to be able to build a platform and blah, 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 blah. Everything that comes out of that. But you will also then start to see something like, I don't know, we want someone that's got a strong foothold of machine learning into pricing optimization, or something around that into, I don't know, maintenance improvements, or, you know, so you start to get into quite a specific domain experience. And what that usually tells you is that they've figured out the value lever. Now, obviously, every business as it relates to data can have multiple value levers and often does. But usually when you start to see that, it's like they've figured out, hang on, this is the one area where data is making us money and a lot of it. So how do we make that be even better? So all of the other stuff is still important. They still need reporting. They still need dashboards. They still need insight, you know, blah, 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 blah. But can we make this bit better? Because this is where we are winning. This is where we're taking market share off our competitors and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, those conversations are still fewer and further between than they should be. And as you said, Juan, this seems really obvious, right? It's almost a bit of a head scratcher because you've got very smart people that sit in a boardroom that run multi-billion dollar organizations, and yet you're still trying to flam in a conversation about something that seems ridiculously obvious.
So what I find really important about this trend that you're seeing, that you're describing, is the focus on the domain. And I think this is also something I've been observing, actually, just in general, like in this new AI world that we live in. And I'm telling people, like, look, a lot of that work that you're doing, that operational work that you're doing, is getting automated right now. That means that you're going to be focusing on the smaller amount of operational work, which means that you have the opportunity to become more strategic. But being strategic, like, you can be a generalist or T-shaped, right? Go wide, or you're going to go down deep into something. I think this is the moment that people say, like, you should actually take the opportunity to go deep into some level of expertise. Yes, technical could be, but now we're talking about business-wise. What is your domain? And this is something I'm starting to see too. Is like, if you actually have data leaders, and not just practitioners too, but it's like, oh, I know. Set up teams and the platforms like Snowflake for any industry is the same thing. Databricks, like the catalog, is all the same thing. It's like how it's being used to be able to go to something very specific part of an industry. So I'm just saying, like, I agree with you, but I think something I want to highlight more is that it's this industry aspect. So two things I want to bring up is, one, somebody here, actually, good comment, is why would a real CDO accept the role of a CDO where their real goals are not laid out? And it seems like that could be, like, that's an interesting question right there. But then also, is this the push to saying, hey, data leaders, not only do you have to have a business acumen or like understand how a business works in general, but also you understand the industry. And then does that mean that we're now going to start kind of having specializations in CDOs and stuff? But then I also wonder, is like, does this happen, like, going back to this, the sales and the CROs and stuff? Are you, if you go, you become a CRO, a chief sales officer, are you specialized in a particular domain? I think probably usually people's careers are, and then you see later on, they make a bigger shift in their career. Oh, I'm going to take this. And sometimes that works well. Sometimes that doesn't work at all. Right. So
yeah.
Anyways, I'll shut up now.
Well, to answer the question of the person that asked the question, it's a very valid question. The answer is, well, you'd have to ask the people that keep accepting these jobs, right? First and foremost. The second part of that is, it's not that the goals are not clearly laid out. It's just that the goals are normally, I refer to them as outputs versus outcomes. So they're outputs. Like, the goals are, we want you to devise a strategy. We want you to build a platform. We want you to implement a governance framework. We want you to implement a catalog. So people come in, like, you know, that's kind of par for the course, right? So people come in and go, well, I can do that. And they go and do it because they've delivered what they've been asked to deliver. And I've said this very publicly before, 9 times out of 10 as a CDO, in most organizations, if you deliver what you're asked to deliver, you will probably get fired. Because then what happens is they turn around and say, well, that's great. And here's your bonus because, yes, in theory, you've delivered exactly what we've asked you to deliver. But we don't need you anymore because this has cost us a load of money and we've not seen any ROI from it. So it's back to that point where you're never going to see ROI from it, right? So it's not that the goals aren't laid out. It's just that the goals are never linked to business outcomes and value in that sense. The part around the domain experience. So this is something, you know, there's always, it's cyclical, right? You get big swings in this centralized, decentralized, hub and spoke, all this type of stuff. We are definitely seeing a shift towards more decentralized types of organizations now where, you know, and again, typically with more mature organizations where they are starting to hire like what I would classify as like a mini CDO role. So it might be like a head of data that sits within a specific business domain or product line. So like each domain or product line has their own head of data, which acts as a mini CDO. Mm. There's pros and cons to all of these operating models, as we all know, right? But that is definitely something that starting to to become a little bit more apparent. And I guess to your point, Juan, like if I look at most resumes, like there's very few that talk about the domain or the product line that they operate in. You know, it's normally, like you say, it's quite holistic in terms of my skills are within this. I managed a team. I was responsible for a cloud migration project and blah, 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 blah. There's very little in there around, you know, and I did all of that work into revenue management or whatever the case may be. And I reckon we're probably going to start to head to a place soon where people will start to realize actually a lot of these roles are becoming a little bit more specific and specialized. And I'm going to have to put some eggs in a basket around where I'm going to ply my trade. I think that's what we'll start to see.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, some of these shifts that are happening. And you're right, there's always this pendulum that's swinging back and forth. On the decentralization thing, I've been seeing that a little bit as well, where, you know, obviously you want like some of the more like platform oriented investments and, you know, kind of overall policies and things to be a little bit more crosswise. But connecting back to something you said a little earlier, when you're like, hey, you'll start to see that people are finding the value levers if they're asking for a head of data or a CDO that has experience in, you know, machine learning for pricing optimization or something like that, because that's an indicator that they know what the lever is around value. Sometimes those levers can be department or business unit specific, right? And that kind of ties to this idea of like, hey, if you have a head of data that's embedded in a business unit or in a particular function, then maybe they're actually going to be a little closer to the action and be able to take on accountability a little bit more directly than somebody who's a little bit more centralized, a little bit more removed.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And that's what we're seeing start to happen. You know, in that example, that was the exact situation where it was like, you know, they believe that they win. This organization believe that they win in that specific domain around pricing in the kind of sector that they operate in. So they already think they're market leading. They know there's a chasing pack and they're like, okay, well, how do we get someone that's like really come from that world? So they are big enough and have broad enough experience that they can manage the entire data analytics organization, which is fairly sizable, and they still want all of the other stuff that comes with it. But actually, how can this person really drive that value lever forward to optimize it and make it even better than it already is, to kind of, you know, keep water between them and the kind of the chasing pack from a kind of competitive advantage standpoint?
You speak to so many boards and data leaders. What are the patterns that you're seeing on kind of the organizations? Like, so where is the reporting lines? How are the teams? Is it, if it's decentralized, how does it look? Centralized, how does it look? And what are the patterns that you're seeing that's working? I know there's a lot of context dependent, like, but what works, what definitely doesn't work? I'm just curious to kind of get your insights on this.
Well, I think this is one of them questions that in theory reporting lines shouldn't matter, right? But 9 times out of 10, it usually does.
Oh, they do.
You flow straight back into what the perception of the role is. So there's been a bit of a, you know, and again, these things can be cyclical. There's been a bit of a pendulum swing, you know. So most, as we know, most data analytics functions were born out of IT, right? So they usually sat under the CIO. There was a spell probably 4 or 5 years ago where there was a bit of a shift out of IT because, you know, again, the complaint was still, we're not getting any value from this. So let's try to put them within the business. So a lot of CDOs then moved, you know, in some instances, very rare, but some instances to a CEO, some to a COO, some to a CFO. You even had some businesses try like a chief transformation officer or a chief innovation officer, something like that. So the reporting line went through that, you know, a 2 to 3 year cycle, and then the complaint was still the same. You know, we're not getting any value from this, and have shifted it back. I think a lot of the time, because of, again, to go back to the mandate, when a business has got a CIO that's building infrastructure and technology and tools and all that kind of stuff, and they've got a CDO that's seemingly doing the same thing, people in the boardroom are looking at this going, well, why have we got two CXOs doing what to them appears to be the same job? And it's costing a lot of money and we're still not getting any value or ROI out of this. So, and you know, let's be honest, most CIOs, well, in most businesses, the CIO has probably got more stock than the CDO has. So there's been a bit of a trend where businesses are getting rid of the CDO, giving the strategic responsibility of the CDO's role back to the CIO. And then that's kind of creating this layer down level of a big hiring spike, actually, because obviously the CIO can't manage the day-to-day, so they go and hire a head of or a director or a VP to manage that. So we're seeing a lot of that. So really, in the majority of cases, I think that the CDO role or whatever the title is still reporting to the CIO in most instances. And obviously, there's a lot of, in my opinion, a lot of challenges with that, because that just usually kind of drills down even further into the fact that it then just becomes a technology related role.
Supporting function, right? Because at the end, if you really want the data teams and data leaders to be able to provide, to be focused on the pricing strategy and these stuff, and then they're kind of pushed down in the CIO, kind of seems a little bit of a disconnect. So how much are you seeing then? Is it, I don't know if it's more in the decentralized where, you know, you actually have core data people in a pricing function in finance, or I have multiple data teams and multiple heads of data around there. Are you seeing that? And if so, like, and how are they coordinating and syncing things?
Yeah, I mean, context is massive in this, right? Because I think every business is different. So there are examples where the CIO still has the central kind of strategic accountability and responsibility, and then they've got heads of data in different kind of business domains or kind of product line functions that report into them. In some instances, you have the same setup, but there's a CDO there, and the CDO still might report up to the CIO, you know, so you've just got layers upon layers. It's one of them. In theory, there's no right or wrong answer, but often there is a right or wrong answer. But I think the decentralized thing is starting to change how organizations are looking at this a little bit. And, you know, I guess the more mature businesses now, there's almost this matrixed organization where they have, you know, they're reporting to the business leader of the domain, but with a dotted line back into the central capability, whether that's the CDO or the CIO. So it is changing a little bit. And I think that's only going to be a good thing. Obviously, there will be many people that will argue, and as with anything, there's pros and cons. The cons of having decentralization is that people go and kind of create their own fiefdoms, and there's mass duplication of work and so on and so forth, right? People will have an opinion on what's right or wrong. But yeah.
Yeah. Kind of what we're seeing. You know, because some of the patterns that I've seen here is, I think it aligns with what you're saying, but explicitly is, if you have a central data team, right, but then those are the ones who end up becoming the reporting function and stuff like that, that people complain about, like, I don't see the ROI, you just generate a bunch of dashboard type of stuff. And then there are the ones who are very core, small central, because they really have embedded kind of data places all over. So then they end up being kind of that dot, they end up reporting to a business function, but they're dotted line to central. Also, that is because people thinking about career growth is like, wait, I'm a data engineer, an analyst, where am I going to go? I'm like, I don't want to become a pricing person or something, but so they wanted that dotted line. Then I also see kind of separation of, well, we're the IT, so we'll do the backend tech stuff. We'll do all the data engineering and all that. But then somewhere else is like, no, we're more the customer-facing side, so we do the analytics and this. But then you got this gap between, wait, we're data teams, but we're completely separated. So I'm like, I get this data, then I don't understand what it means. And then that
opens you get up. You get some weird cost dynamics too, right? Because in some organizations, there's a lot of scrutiny on like centralized budgets versus, you know, like, why do you have so many engineers and analysts reporting to you? Like versus like, if it's kind of hidden in the business units, right? So it's kind of interesting. How do you navigate those dynamics? And every company is a little different in terms of how they look at those things.
Yeah.
So question for, what is your message right now to the leaders? Basically, so I see that the boards, right? You made the case very specifically that the boards have the wrong mandate. They're starting to make a shift, but it's happening very slow. So then there are these new jobs that you're saying that are coming up, which are more now heads of VPs kind of. So what is your message for leaders listening to us right now? They're like, what should they be doing? What should they not be doing? Where should they be focusing? Where should they put their eggs in the basket? I mean, what are your thoughts around this stuff to kind of give some recommendations?
Oh, dear. So I think this is very difficult, but obviously I was having this conversation just before we came on air, right? So part of the issue is that most executive teams and board members, they're not sat on LinkedIn reading my posts or your posts, one, right? And I wish they were, because that'd be good. But they're not. So it's very difficult to try and address this at any scale. And I think that's always been the problem. We've kind of been having these same conversations on podcasts, on LinkedIn forever. And it's like, well, nothing's changed.
We live in our own bubble too.
This message isn't landing with the people that fundamentally make those decisions, right? So it's got to be changed from the inside out. So, and I think that's where the message to the leaders is, that becomes the job. I said something, and I didn't think it was that controversial, but evidently based on some of the comments on the LinkedIn post, it was deemed to be, which was, if you go in and do, you know, as I said before, if you deliver what you're asked to deliver, then you're probably in a bit of trouble. However, it's the same like in the interview process. If you try to challenge in an interview, the likelihood of you getting that job is slim, you know, and I see this all the time, right? Where really good people go in and they try to educate, let's use the word educate. They try to educate in the interview process to say, actually, you know, you're saying that you need someone that's going to come in and do this, this, and this, but actually we need to connect it back to the value levers of the business and what the business goals are and find what the KPIs are. And usually that comes across as, this person is trying to change the mandate to fit their skill set. So therefore then they just get, you know, shoved off and they're, you know, left in the rejected pile. So the controversial thing to say here is probably nod along, say what you need to say, say, yeah, you know, yes, sir, I can deliver all that for you. And then when you actually get on the inside, go and do what needs to be done. So that's not to say don't deliver what they've asked you to deliver. But when you get on the inside, you've got to try to change how they think about this. Because fundamentally, if you don't, and history has shown us, you know, time and time and time again, that's why the tenure of the CDO is, depending on where you read, somewhere between 18 to 27 months. There's a reason for that, right? And it's because when businesses go, you know, people go into these roles, they deliver what they ask for, they can't change the perception of what the role is. They can't change the kind of trajectory and the direction of travel away from it being just a building stuff, and not connecting it to the business and the value levers. Then effectively, they never get to the point of ROI or seeing the benefit. And fundamentally, like, it comes down to, it's going to sound really harsh, but like, do you want to keep your job or not? And that's fine. Like, you know, a lot of people have made a load of money in this industry by being fired every 2 to 3 years and going to do the same thing somewhere else, and then the same thing somewhere else, and the same thing somewhere else. And then after 5 or 6 goes at it, they can retire happily ever after, right? And that's absolutely fine. But fundamentally, if we want to change the narrative of data analytics doesn't add any value, then we've got to do something about it. And it's really difficult, as you know, for someone like me, I can sit here, I can talk, I can say all this stuff, I can say this stuff to people in the boardroom that I do every single week. It doesn't always land very well, and they, you know, may then choose not to do business with us because of it. But fundamentally, like, we've got, as an industry, we need to try and evolve our thinking into how can we together, collectively, change this, because that's the only way it happens at scale. Right.
Okay. Hold on. Now we're getting even spicier. But Tim, you go first. I got.
Well, do you have a follow up to that?
Well, my immediate thought is, you said this. How did people react to this particular position? Because, in a way, by the way, I agree with you. Because, and that may just be culturally how I was raised up and how I think about things, and also kind of being a little bit of a bull in a china shop, right? You get, this is how you do the politics. You got to do big friends, and you got to understand, and then like, okay, here's how I can go and ask for forgiveness, not for permission, that type of stuff. So that's my way, and maybe a little bit more of an American mindset, probably. But so yeah, I'm all for that. That's one thing. Second is you called it out. People are like, yeah, I'm just gonna do the job. I'll get fired, I'll get another job, I'll do that, I'll be comfortable. And then, like, you know, and to be a little bit kind of, I mean, the honest OPS is like, you are part of the problem. You are keeping this status quo, and you're not helping. You're helping yourself, but not the industry. And fine, you don't care about the industry. I get that. You just that's fine, right? But I mean, to be very direct on that stuff.
I'm actually going to devil's advocate this a little bit.
Okay.
Because and it goes a little bit to what you said, Kyle, that like our ambitions should be greater. But I think there's a lot of data leaders out there who kind of recognize that, yeah, I'm probably going to be let go in 3 years. Because of who knows, right? It could be because of ROI. It could be because of something else. Could be because a new AI thing comes along, whatever, right? But like, if I could just leave things a little better than I got here, you know, like, then I did a good job, and that's fine, right? And there's a bit of a, like, that's valuable, but it's also pretty complacent.
Complacent, yeah. Is the word here. And I think this goes back into quote, people who are listening, I'm doing air quotes over leaders, right? If you're complacent, that does not really, at least for me personally, a true leader is not somebody who's complacent. And I think this is where I want to go challenge. If you are a true leader or you're a quote leader, and I think this is an opportunity to make a change in the industry. And you want to be part of that transformational change, or you're just keeping the status quo? I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things on this one, right? So I think a lot of it comes back to skill set, right? Because obviously, if you take this in its pure and it's never this kind of binary, it's not black and white. However, if you were to try to look at it through that lens, because of the types of mandates that boards create, you get a certain type of profile, right? And usually, not always, but usually that type of profile doesn't always come with the kind of prerequisite skill set to then be able to go and stand in front of a boardroom and say, well, actually, we're doing this all wrong and we should be doing it this way and this way because of X, Y, and Z. So all of the, you know, sales skills, if you want to call them that, communication, presentation, commercial acumen, you know, stakeholder management, influencing, educating, blah, blah, blah. Often, because of the mandate, because the mandate is, you know, we need someone that's great with, you know, building platforms and designing architecture and all that type of stuff. So there is definitely a kind of a skills gap, and it's not always the fault of the person, because if you think about it, and this is one of my kind of debating topics, because what you find in the industry is that there's a certain group of people will turn around and say, yes, but it's the job of the data leader. And I'm absolutely like, it is the job of the data leader. However, if boards keep appointing certain types of people and profiles based on what they want them to deliver, and what they want them to deliver isn't aligned to the outcome that they are trying to seek, then kind of what are they expecting to happen? Right. So there's a bit of a skills thing here, but partly because they've never had the experience or the need to do it, because they keep being asked, can you come in and build a platform, design this architecture, build this framework? And they do that, and then they get fired for it, and then they get asked to go and do the same thing somewhere else, and so on and so forth. And I've said this quite publicly, like, I think the way these organizations have hired for so long, it's taught an entire industry how to play the game in the wrong way, right? We're now at this kind of inflection point where everyone's saying there's no ROI, and you're like, well, how do we fix that? That's not our problem. Like, we get brought in to build stuff, right? So it's a difficult subject, but effectively, I think that the way those businesses have hired for so long, we've got this industry now that is like, you know, it's focused on the wrong things. But then also because of that, because it's never had the experience or the need to sharpen those skills or even use those skills inside most organizations, they sometimes don't have them, right? And therefore the ability to go in and change it from the inside out, it's easy to say, very difficult to do, especially if you've never had to do it before or don't have, you know, never had the experience of doing it. And that's part of the problem.
So Kyle, what I wrote down here is, like, if boards keep appointing profiles of people of the outputs they want, delivery of platforms, frameworks, et cetera, instead of the outcomes they want, we're gonna continue to see this problem. And here's my question to you. What should the mandate be? Like, what would be the ideal mandate coming from the board? And what's something we can do to start to shift them in that direction?
So I think, I don't think there is such thing as an ideal mandate as a collective, because obviously it's massively contextual to the business and what they've done or had before and what they've not. And obviously sector, size, scale, complexity all plays a part. I think the one theme that should probably be threaded through all of this is, like, what are the goals and objectives of the business? Understanding what those KPIs and metrics are that influence those goals and objectives, and then understanding what the decisions are that influence those KPIs and metrics that fundamentally lead up to the goals and objectives. And if businesses started at the end and worked backwards as to what are we trying to achieve and how can data help us to do that, to, you know, drive improved business performance, gain competitive advantage, whatever it is, then they would look at this through a completely different lens. And yes, of course, governance and architecture and engineering and analytics and data science, it's all massively important. Like, you can't do any of this stuff without it, but in isolation, it gets you almost nothing, right? So, and I think it's that, because the perception of what the role is leads them to create the mandate of going building all this stuff, which is really useful stuff if something then happened with it, but it doesn't. So I think it's that, if we need to get them to start thinking about this from the end point of what they would like to achieve within 2-3 years, and obviously business objectives change fairly frequently, right? So it's hard to pinpoint, but there will generally be a handful of things that a board as a collective are trying to do. I had a conversation with the CDO, right? And he believes that he's got an advantage because he reports to the CEO. And I asked him, what are you tasked with achieving? What are your deliverables? And he said, increase revenue and improve customer satisfaction. And he said, and the deliverables are the same for every single member of the board. So it was nothing about data or technology or platforms or frameworks. It was nothing about that. That he was just expected to do that stuff because it would help them to achieve, as a collective group in a boardroom, the goals and objectives. And I think when you frame it like that, the mandate changes into something that becomes a little bit more aligned to probably generating value in ROI.
This resonates a lot with me. And I think that this should affect, going back to what we talked about, like the interview process, right? Instead of the interview being like, well, tell us about how you approach governance frameworks and, you know, what's your ideal data lake architecture and yada, yada, right? It should be, hey, our goals are to increase revenue and improve customer satisfaction. And then the candidate says, well, great. In my previous experience, you know, whether it's in this industry or just relevant kind of experience, I implemented a machine learning approach that allowed us to take, you know, inventory from 90 days lead time to 60 days lead time. And I increased revenue by 5%. I can do that here.
Yeah. And the takeaway, my main takeaway here, so we have to go ahead and lightning round quickly, is one, ideally, boards are going to start updating their mandate. So that's going to trickle down. Things should get better. But in reality, this is where the true leaders are going to shine, where they're going to figure out, hey, I really want to make a change. I'm going to look this as an opportunity. It means I have to do a heck of a lot of work. I have to do all that delivery work, which I'm being asked to go do. And in addition to that, I got to play inside games from the inside, go change things. And that's the way I'm going to go change, right? So it's double amount of work right there. And that's my takeaway. So it's really for the data leaders, it's your time to really shine and earn that leadership and go drive that change from the inside. And this is somewhat uncharted territory. And let's go find our community and let's go do this together, because hey, if you're listening to us, like, we're here to support you. We want to see these changes. So,
100%. And there's people and businesses that have done this, right? They are doing this right now. They are seeing tangible commercial returns year on year off doing this stuff. So, you know, go and seek them out. And I think that's one of the things about the data community, is very open to sharing and, you know, coming together. So 100%, I'd encourage people to do that.
All right. Lightning round questions. Let's get this quickly here, because I know probably have more meetings and stuff today. Okay. You know what the funny thing? We haven't talked about AI that much. So actually, question number one, can AI kind of help the CDO mandate problem, or will it just make it worse?
That's a good question. At the minute, I think it's probably making it worse. Most of the mandates that I see are, you know, we want someone that's, you know, done Gen AI into production. And I'm like, okay, well, there's, you know, not many businesses that have done that, which means there's not many people that have done that. So I think it's making it worse. Longer term, could it make it better? It could make it better in the sense of, if you view this through the lens of, if AI starts to be able to do more of the technical heavy lifting work, which we know it will do, then, and I think that's going to be something that happens across the industry, right? Like, if you think of, like, I don't know, analysts, are they going to be the ones that are building dashboards and reports in the future? Probably not. So a lot of that work comes back to, you know, QA that comes out of all of these agents and stuff like that, and more product management type skills, and really customer fate, you know, into the business and sharpening those skills. So possibly.
All right.
That wasn't lightning quick. I apologize.
No, it was
okay. I like that. All right. Second question, is data driven, which came up today, a mostly meaningless buzzword at this point? And how do you feel about AI ready as a term?
I think data driven is, yeah, it is a buzzword. I think it's always been a buzzword, right? I mean, how a business can be data driven, yet it doesn't know what decisions it needs to make to impact the KPIs that it needs to influence to improve the goals and objectives of the business. So I think data driven was a bit of a marketing thing, right? To be completely candid. Yeah. AI ready. I mean, it's like with all of these terms, right? There's logic behind them. You understand why people use them. They kind of make sense, but like, what does AI ready even mean? Like, to whom, in what context? Like, you know, anyone's AI ready in theory, right? You know, like, I can open ChatGPT and ask it something. Does that mean I'm AI ready? Yeah, maybe. You know, I don't know. Like, I think it's the quantification, the definition of this stuff is like hard, but I understand why businesses would use it. And I understand why data leaders would use it, because, you know, if you take like data management, data governance, for example, that's long been underfunded, all of a sudden now they're getting loads of money thrown at them to do, you know, loads of work and projects that they couldn't get off the ground previously, because they say, oh, you know, you want to be AI ready? Well, you better give me some money, because data is really important, right? So, I think there's merit to it.
I think smart definitions is key there, because what's funny, one quick comment is that they do surveys every year, you know, do you feel your organization is data driven, right? And it gets worse every year. Like 10 years ago, it was like 35%. Now it's like 20%. And it's because the definition's always shifting, right? Like, we have more to do. It's getting more complicated.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Will AI agents make the CDO role more important or disrupted, distributed, displaced? Or?
I think it will make the role more important, but what I think is worth saying is that there's a definite land grab going on at the minute. Like, depends on the organization, who you speak to inside a business, as is this a technology or is this a data thing, right? You know, so and I know many CDOs now who are, you know, they literally won't take a job unless they can have AI in the title. So now it's why there's a lot of chief data and AI officers and not chief data and analytics officers, right? So I think it depends, really. I think the answer to the question is yes. It just depends on what the organization views AI to be. And if they view it as a technology thing, then the CIO is probably going to have the responsibility for it.
All right, fourth question. If a chief data officer has a bad mandate from the board, can they define their own mandate and just shift to outcomes anyway?
Yeah, yes, in theory. But as I said before, I think you've got to get on the inside first and start to show what's possible. Because I think that's, as I said, if you try to do that before you get in role and you try to do that throughout the interview process, like, yes, you can start nudging them in the right direction, but to fundamentally reshape what the mandate is, in my opinion, is very, very tough to do whilst you're in interview. I think once you get on the inside, and yes, you start to deliver what they ask for, but you also start to show them, hey, I've done something here and look, we've managed to, you know, do X, Y, and Z and show them what the outcomes could be. Then I think that will start to kind of take them on that journey of kind of, yeah, actually maybe the mandate needs to be reshaped. But again, like, will that become an official thing? Probably not, right? Because you just grow into what the mandate needs to be. And I think that's probably, I'm going to say the easiest way, but the easiest way in that sense of kind of changing it, right, from the inside out.
Yeah. And then a couple of years later, they're like, man, Kyle's really valuable.
Hopefully. No one's ever said that about me, Tim.
Kyle, you're really valuable. All right, takeaway times. Tim, take us away with takeaways.
All right. I'll try to keep this tight because I know we had so many good takeaways today. So we started off with, what do you mean that people in the boardroom continue to design the wrong CDO mandate? And you said that fundamentally, however long that we've been doing data and analytics and now AI, there's a lot of talk and there's a lot of focus on technology, but not enough focus on the value and the impact and the outcomes. And a very finite number of businesses can really point to specific tangible value, maybe general value, but not specific tangible value around their data-oriented initiatives, right? And 9 out of 10 times, the boardroom defines the role of the CDO around technology and frameworks and platforms, and you know, now Gen AI is part of the picture, right? Rather than focusing it more on what are the goals of the business and aligning that role to delivering ROI. And the mandate is part of a bigger problem, the perception that what data means, that it's a technical problem that needs fixing and addressing, which is not what we want all the energy to be going into, and ultimately results in the CDO getting fired in 2 or 3 years, right? So is there a problem with the role of the CDO itself? You said, no, it's really around this mandate that needs to be changed here. And a lot of companies, they need to shift just focusing on things like, hey, let's become data driven, to let's really make an impact on the KPIs that matter. And Juan asked, you know, do we have more of a work problem versus a data or AI problem? And you said you pretty much agree with that. And you tied it to a big problem around accountability, right? The perception of the CDO being more of an enabling or a supporting function versus really taking ownership over, you know, key things that matter to the business. And we need to switch hiring CDOs from more of a, hey, we're hiring them to do data and do enablement, and instead to really impact those key things. There can't be this big disconnect between what is being asked of them and what's the outcome. We need to align those things. And you saw that there were some big shifts happening. You know, the business is really looking at, and you can see this in like the job descriptions or the interview process, where they're signaling that like, hey, we're looking for somebody with a strong focus on machine learning for pricing or something like that. This can be an indicator, not necessarily that they're being technology focused, but actually they figured out the levers that are going to have a bigger impact on the business, which can also lead to things like, shifting how you even organize this role to have bigger impact, right? But anyways, I have so many more, but Juan, I'll pass it to you. What were your big takeaways?
I love how we brought up a question. Why would a real CDO accept the role of the CDO where the real goals are not laid out? And you're like, well, the goals are laid out, except that they're outputs and not outcomes. I think that's actually, if you're looking through the chat, we had a very kind of great chat. There's a lot of people who brought that up. You said 9 out of 10, if you deliver what you were asked to deliver, you'll get fired. Because I was like, good, yeah, but this is it, you did it, but this cost us too much. So your original goals were never linked to the outcomes. We talk about shifts. So I think you're seeing the shift, kind of the pendulum always swings, but a shift right now to decentralization. You're having like mini CDOs who are like the heads of data. They're embedded in various parts of the business, and the roles are going to become much more specialized, right? So the data leaders will have to kind of figure out where am I put my eggs in what basket. We're talking about organizational structures and like all this data is born out of IT. In the last 5 years, we've had a shift out of IT because they have not getting the value. So they've moved to the CEO, the COO, the CFO, the chief transformation officer. But the complaint is the same, and we're seeing that shift back, right? Pendulum always swings. And then people start saying, hey, why do we have like two CXOs doing the same thing apparently? And the CIO has more stock. So then the CDOs kind of get somewhat demoted, or now you have heads of or VPs that are now reporting to CIOs. But then we see kind of this matrix organization where they may be reporting to the business line, but they're dotted line centrally to some of the IT functions. Recommendations is like, look, we're having this conversation, but this message isn't always landing to the execs on the board because, hey, they're not following us on LinkedIn and listening to our podcast, but they should. So we need to really do this from the inside. The data leaders need to do this from the inside. So, hey, if you go to the interview process and if you're the person who's challenging or educating the interviewer, it gets perceived that you're trying to change that mandate. So that doesn't work. And your suggestion, which can be controversial, but I agree, is just thought along. Say, yes, I can go do that. And then get inside and then change the things from the inside. A lot of it comes back to the skill sets. The type of mandate boards result in certain types of data leaders. So what Tim was saying, if the board keeps appointing profiles of people of the outputs they want instead of the outcomes they want, they'll continue to see this issue right now. And the ideal mandate is not universal because it's contextual to the industry. But one common thread is, what are the goals and the objectives of the business, and what are the KPIs that influence it? So a CDO that reports to the CEO, my goals are to increase revenue and improve customer satisfaction. Yes, that's the type of stuff we need to go focus on. How did we do? Anything we missed?
I don't think so. No, I didn't realize I said all that, but yeah.
Well, thank you. So
quite a few t-shirts that came out of that, I think.
Yes. What's your advice? You did a lot, but what's your advice about data, about life, whatever you want? Second, who should we invite next? And third, what resources do you follow?
What's my advice? Well, advice about life is, you know, be happy and enjoy it, because we're not here, we're here for a good time, not a long time. About data, try to focus on outcomes. Try to drive that message home. That's the only way we change anything. Who should you invite next? This is really difficult because I know so many great people. I'm trying to think of somebody who will be as, you know, honest, no BS. Have a go and talk to Davin Crowley-Sweet, who's this chief data officer at National Highways. So he's somebody that's done phenomenal work in this space. He's been given an OBE here in the UK for his work, and he's got some fairly strong opinions. He comes from a music background, of all things. So, yeah, I'd get him on because he'll have some pretty controversial views. And then resources. I read...
Sorry, there's some...
It's all right. I read a lot of books, but to be honest with you, most of my stuff comes out of LinkedIn and articles and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't say there's one main place. I think, to be honest with you, where I get most of my knowledge is by interviewing people on my podcast, right? That's probably where that accompanied with interviewing people for CDO roles and speaking to boards about the mandates of CDOs. Those things collectively are where I get the most insight from, like real life on the ground stuff.
Awesome. Kyle, thank you so much for finally being on the podcast. I'd love that we had these conversations. We can keep going on. I look forward to meeting you in person. Let's hang out and have some whiskey and some old fashioned and some Belgian beers and
theaters
and keep having this conversation live, because we need to have that and get some board members too in the room, and we can have these conversations.
100%.
Cheers. Thank you
so much.
Have a good one. Cheers.
Bye-bye.